This is VK6ARN. You're listening to News West. WA Amateur Radio News is a community organisation and has been serving up the news since 1931. Hello and welcome to News West for Sunday, the 22nd of February 2026. I'm your producer for this morning, Phil, VK6DEV. Let's get on with the news.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Building a shack makes a number of assumptions about your situation, and to make it abundantly clear, it's not the only way to enjoy the hobby of amateur radio. Visiting clubs locally and remotely, being a member of a club, visiting other amateurs, setting up your station in a suitcase or a backpack, on a bicycle, in a car, on a bus or in a boat, are some of the many other avenues open to you. That said, there is something magical about building your own shack. It has the ability to transform your hobby, and if you have the opportunity, I can highly recommend it, and I'd like to encourage you to consider the notion. As I've said previously, there is plenty of exploration and learning associated with putting one together. After you've spent some time reflecting, planning, designing, sourcing, building and testing the environment where you do amateur radio, you're likely to reach a point where you'll refer to that space as your shack. You might even come to think of it as your shack, rather than a collection of trade-offs that you've constructed in the best way you know how. Inevitably, you'll wonder what to do next. Several things come to mind. Creature comforts is probably the most obvious. A push-to-talk footbedal or a desk microphone, either on a stand or hanging from a boom. An audio mixer, a couch, a soldering station, a microwave oven, a fan or air conditioning. In other words, plenty of opportunities for improvement and enhancement. Then there's computing, something that might interest you or not. It offers the ability to explore a whole different side of amateur radio, from logging through to digital modes, from weak signal propagation to tracking satellites. The possibilities are endless. Your shack is also potentially a communal place where you can meet with your friends to share the experience. It's a place for contemplation, for relaxation, for being an amateur. All of it is open to you as possibility, an excuse to improve and enhance. The thing is, that too will come to a point of, let's call it, completion, and you're left with more questions. Amateur radio is inherently experimental in nature. That's the whole point of the pursuit. Your license gave you access to the playground. Your shack is that playground. Now it's up to you to play. Of course, what playing looks like is unique to you. Over the past 15 years, I've been describing what playing looks like to me. And from the over 3 million downloads last year from my website alone, not to mention the newsletters, rebroadcasts, podcast inclusions, other streaming services, news reports, social media, and messages I've received, they've encouraged you to explore and investigate this wondrous activity. The point is, the shack you just completed isn't finished, and hopefully it never will be. Whichever one it is, the first one, the one after that, or the next one, your shack is a place where you can experiment, learn, discover, test, fail, succeed, challenge, and enjoy the hobby of amateur radio. It's not the only place where you'll find this hobby, but it's your place. So have at it. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
I'm Bob, VK6POP, and I want to talk to you a bit about clubs. Why do we form a club at all? Why do we go to the trouble of forming or joining a club? One reason we do join clubs is to bring together and share our common interests and knowledge. We also join a club for common purposes such as building and maintaining repeaters, contesting, working with a particular part of the spectrum and so forth. Many of us have skills and knowledge in various areas, and a club is an ideal place to share these. The second is the psychosocial benefits of belonging to a group, club, or community. The term social capital is used to describe how a person is linked into their family and community. It's an expression of involvement with other people and organisations. People who have social capital are less likely to have mental health issues. And we also turn our attention to the health of your club. And here we talk about how a club ought to be organised and conducted. We should think a bit about making a club fit its constitution. And the other way around, making the constitution fit the club. Sometimes a club moves away from the original objects of the constitution, and for peace of mind and legal safety, the document needs to be updated. There's also the issue of attraction and retention of members and reasons why members may not stick around. Are your club meetings engaging or boring? And clubs also need to have a clear, shared vision of plans for the future of the club. A well-prepared club plan directs the activities and business meetings of the club. A good plan describes in broad terms what the club wishes to achieve over the next few years, and then in detail describes what is to be done to make those things happen. It will also give timelines and say who will make it happen. A strategic plan is a living document and should be reviewed and updated regularly. It's clear when you think about it that clubs are complex organisations, and it takes intentional effort to keep them moving along in the right direction. It's a bit like driving a car. It moves in the general direction that you're driving in. However, a myriad of external forces makes the car want to deviate from its original path. Headwinds may impede progress, and tailwinds give you a boost, and so forth. What drives clubs is the people who want to be there, who have common goals, and share a common understanding of how to achieve those goals. So I guess the message I'm offering here today is think about why your club is there. Think about, do you know exactly what you're going to be doing in 3 months' time? Are you going to be sitting there talking about what you didn't do last month? Or are you going to be driven by a plan with a definite set of objectives to keep your members interested and to make it an enjoyable experience to attend the club?
The Southern Electronics Group Mount Barker Car Boot Sale is on for the Saturday, 7th of March. My apologies for the date mix-up, I'm sure I'll get a pay cut. This is an opportunity to bring your treasures down, up or sideways to Mount Barker and get some useful coins for the next project, or just to satisfy the other half that you're actually reducing the shack contents. The car boot sale is located at Frost Park, the Mount Barker Racecourse, which is located on McDonald Avenue in Mount Barker. Tables are free and there's plenty of undercover room. Entry is $5 for buyers and sellers. Gates open at 9 a.m. for sellers and 11 a.m. for buyers. Last sales and pack up by 3 p.m. Tables can be reserved by emailing reservations at hamradio.org.au. There is no food planned to be served on site, so bring some snacks, or the excellent Mount Barker Bakery is not far away. There are a number of tables already secured, including Steve Kennedy from Comtech Radio, who will be carrying items from Flex and Tet Emtron. If you have anything specific you would like Steve to bring down, please give him plenty of notice. Put it in your diary, Saturday, March 7th, Frost Park, Mount Barker. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
This is Peter, VK3YE, and you're listening to News West.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with a refurbished episode of Did You Know? Did you know that the WIA runs its DX award scheme and leaderboard online from its website at wia.org.au? Easiest way to find more details is to Google WIA DX Awards. The mainstay of the DX award scheme is the time-honoured WIA version of the DXCC award. DXCC is an acronym for Long Distance Century Club. In its most basic form, the DXCC Award is an award for contacting and gaining a QSL card, physically or electronically, from at least 100 different DXCC entities. A DX entity is a country, or if the country has parts that are separated by more than 500 kilometres, a country may have more than one DXCC entity. An example of this is Christmas Island and Cocos Keeling Islands. These are both a part of Australia, but are separate DXCC entities for the purpose of the award. Other examples include East and West Malaysia, Greece, and the island of Crete. Before digital communications, DXCC was much harder to get and was probably valued higher than now. However, the challenge now is to go beyond that first 100 countries and gain DXCC awards on multiple bands with multiple modes. From a band perspective, there is an award for each single band you attain DXCC with, as well as 3, 5, 7 and 9 band awards. For modes, there are phone, that is, that quaint old mode the old-timers use with a microphone, CW and data modes. Data modes can be FT8, PSK31, RTTY, or any of the myriad of digital modes. A couple of years ago, the WIA also introduced the triple play category, where a country is only counted when you've confirmed it on SSB, CW and a data mode. Whilst the first 100 countries is much easier to attain now, there's no doubt that the highest levels, including the honour roll, for working all but 2 to 3 of every single entity, are still great and often lifelong endeavours. I managed to work my first 100 countries, but not quite get all of them confirmed in my first 12 months as a ham, but it did cost me a year of school that I had to repeat because the DXCC was more attractive than Year 11. In addition to the DXCC awards, there are also awards for working grid squares, work in the Antarctic, all VK call areas on HF and VHF, and working all continents. To claim an award, you used to need to carefully keep all of your QSL cards marking off on your paper log each contact confirmed, then providing a log of each entry used for your award, and have someone sign off on the fact that you actually have the cards. It would then go to the awards committee, who occasionally would gather to evaluate applications, ask for actual proof if they saw fit, and then you would receive your award in the mail. My first DXCC award, gained after about 30 years in the hobby, took around 12 months from setting off my application to receiving the award. I had to send about 4 cards to the committee with a stamped return envelope to check. Thankfully now, we upload our logbooks to the WIA awards site, then follow a simple process of checking logs against Log of the World and EQSL, and for hard copy cards, show a fellow WIA member registered for the award scheme my cards, and they hop online and tick them off. The process for applying for an award once you've attained the level needed takes 1 to 3 days, is largely automated with some manual oversight from the committee. As an adjunct to the award scheme, the WIA also maintains an annual challenge called the DX and Group Leaderboards. These programs use exactly the same process for submitting of logs and verification of contacts. In fact, if you don't tick the box to opt out of the leaderboard, you automatically go on the leaderboard when you submit logs for DXCC awards. The DX leaderboard is an annual challenge that pits individual operators against each other to work the most number of entities on the most number of bands and modes, including triple play, in a given year. There is also a category for the most grid squares worked. The categories are further broken down into an open category, a category for standard and foundation licensees, and a third category for foundation license operators only. The top 30 operators are displayed on a table on the WIA website, and the results are automatically calculated as soon as anyone uploads a log. I have to say, this challenge is a bit addictive. To run at the top of the ladder, you need a good station, a lot of time, a lot of tenacity and operator skill on all 3 mode groups. Having said that, the top standard and foundation entrants last year were both VK6s, as was the outright winner that was in 2022, and the most grid squares worked category is something almost anyone can compete in, even with a very modest station. The group leaderboard is a category where anyone can form a category and anyone can join that category. The most popular of these by far is the club leaderboard. As part of your registration on the scheme, you can nominate the club you're a member of, only one per participant, and all individual scores are all also added together to form a club challenge. Last year, and I think the year before also, our very own Bunbury Radio Club won this award and continues to, including this year, with a significant margin on the runner-up. So, how do we sign up for this bucket of fun? Firstly, you must be a member of the WIA, not such a bad thing. You get access to the QSL Bureau, you get a cool magazine every 2 months, and you contribute to the national voice for the hobby. If joining the WIA is not for you, the ARRL also has a DXCC award scheme, which is just as sought after, if not more so. It was the first award scheme. And Club Log also runs a leaderboard program that's also very popular and very similar in style, but not sponsored by your favourite ham business in Perth. So, go on. Join the WIA, upload your logs occasionally, get your club enthusiastic about it, and get the coolest wallpaper available for your shack, and make some noise.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Just a quick Parks on the Air update. As most of you would be aware, the governing body has arranged state-specific email addresses for Australian hams to easily message their state map coordinator. The address for WA is au-wa@parksontheair.com. If you'd like more park information, or like us to add a park near or far that you would like to activate, or just want to say hi, drop an email to au-wa@parksontheair.com and your message will go to the state coordinator, but will also be seen by the national coordinator, so your reply should be prompt. 73.
On air, online, and on demand. This is VK6 ARN News West.
The John Moyle Memorial Field Day is on the weekend, 21st and 22nd of March. Don't panic, but that's a month away. The John Moyle is always on the third full weekend in March. This contest is in memory of John Moyle, who pioneered the use of radio to coordinate an agency's response to emergencies such as bushfires. The John Moyle Memorial Field Day is intended to promote our preparedness to operate portable in order to be able to respond to emergency situations. The contest rules define several categories, for example, single operator or multiple operators, portable or home base, and so forth. In order for you to decide which category you'll do well in, you need to read the rules, decide which category you fit, and prepare yourself and your equipment for the best result. The contest rules are on the Wireless Institute's website. Look under Members on the menu bar. It's probably time to talk about preparation for this contest because you have some decisions to make. Firstly, if you haven't already done so, make the decision. Are you going to have a go at John Moyle? If yes, listen on. This is sounding like one of those decision trees, but let's continue. Are you going to operate as a single operator or as a multiple operator team with two or more operators? You must decide where you're going to operate from, be it from your home shack, a club shack, or a portable site in a park, on a farm, or in the bush somewhere. Portable is defined as not utilising fixed facilities and using portable power such as a generator, batteries, or solar. Having made those basic decisions, you can concentrate on your equipment and start to systematically check your equipment. This contest has had some rule changes, so make sure you visit the contest website at wia.org.au and look at the rules. Following the rules will help you to earn points at the maximum rate, as multipliers are used for the first time in this contest. So good luck with your preparations for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. I'm Bob, VK6PRP.
You are listening to News West, your weekly news from VK6 ARN. If you have any items for the news, the latest they can be submitted is noon Friday. If you have an item you would like read out by the news team, please give plenty of notice to allow someone to record the item before the Friday deadline. This is Darren, VK6EK, for Amateur Radio News, VK6 ARN.
HAMP College is a Perth-based organisation focused on providing top-quality training to enable students to attain their foundation, standard and advanced licences. We run a foundation course in the first weekends of February, April, June, August, October and December of each year, with the exams being run the weekend after. We also run a standard advanced course on Tuesday nights this year, starting on Tuesday, March the 10th and finishing in October. While there are quicker ways to get the qualification, we believe our approach provides the best depth of knowledge of any course in the country and providing the most useful start to your amateur career. To book a place on any of our courses, please use the Contact Us page on our website at www.hamcollege.org.au. We are constantly looking for additional instructors to assist in delivering our courses, and in particular, looking for one more instructor to join our standard and advanced course team. This would suit an electronics professional or anyone with a good depth of knowledge of electronics in general. We've had a number of foundation licensed hams also assisting in delivering the foundation course, so please don't let your license level prevent you from assisting. More experienced hams are also sought after for teaching all levels of training. Our training and support crew are well respected and a friendly crew of hams. We learn from each other and our students. We're also keen to add to our training courses to provide training in other aspects of the hobby, but would need additional instructors for this. So if you have a topic you'd like to teach, please contact us via our Contact Us page. And again, to book a place on any of our courses, you can contact us via our Contact Us page at www.hamcollege.org.au. Thank you.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 22nd of February 2026. Let me see what I've got for you today. I have from Wayne the following: a Matchbox antenna analyzer. It's an antenna efficiency meter. It's made by Helper Instruments in the USA, covers the UHF bands only, and is $20. I also have four communication receivers here for restoration. They're going very cheap. You may contact Wayne for those items on his mobile, which is 0423 185 032. That's Wayne, VK6 Fox Tango, VK6 Lima Hotel also, 0423 185 032, for further information on those items there. I have from Keith, VK6 Papa Tango, a Maxon Papa Mic 100 UHF 70 centimeter transceiver, complete with manual, $50. There's a pair of Bofang handheld transceivers, including the power supply, and charging $50 for that. There's also a Taggy HP 12-S variable power supply, $50. And you may contact Keith, VK6 Papa Tango, for those items. Keith may be contacted on his email, which is Kilo Echo India Tango Hotel, Papa Echo Tango, Echo Romeo, Sierra Oscar November, figures 962@gmail.com. That's Keith Peterson, 962@gmail.com. Next I have from Tony, VK6ATI, a model 7600 X-ray rotator, complete with model Delta Romeo 7055 antenna controller, or rotator controller, approximately 13 meters of RG213 coaxial cable, approximately 13 meters of 6-4 control cable as well, and it is asking $400 for that one. Contact Tony, VK6 Alpha Tango India, his telephone number, landline, 089-528-6735. 089-528-6735, or the mobile 0472-608-523. I'll say again, 0472-608-523. And next item I have from Gus. He has an ICOM IC7300 transceiver for sale, complete with original box, the manual, and etc. All the bits and pieces in excellent condition, asking $1,200 or nearest offer. And he also has a Kenwood Tango Sierra 950 Sierra Delta X-ray, also in excellent condition, no original box for that, but asking $1,600 or nearest offer. Please contact Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo, on his mobile, 0407-030592. I say again, 0407-030592. That's Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo. And that's all I have for you for today. If you have any items for next week, please do the same deal. Please contact me and by email, VK6X-Ray Victor at bigpond.com is my address, but the only one worthwhile contacting me on, VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. 7-3 till next week.
Well, we've come to the end of another News West broadcast. Thank you to the team at VK6ARN, our readers and contributors, and those that put the broadcast to air every week. And especially to you, our listeners. We welcome feedback via newswest@vk6.net. Please stand by now for the callbacks after the broadcast, or you can visit vk6.net and fill out the callback form. 73 from me, VK6DEV, and all the team at WA Amateur Radio News.